Glenn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
You're ever in some logging town and you meet one on the street, you're going to think there's the meanest man anybody'd want to meet. But when you really get to know one, that's when you'll understand.
Where there walks a logger, there walks a man.
Digging deep for that one, Brent.
I've seen two loggers.
That's an old classic, huh?
Buzz Martin.
A classic I've never heard of.
Right.
So, there walks a logger, there walks a man. We used to have a lot of those in the state of Oregon. Not so many, as many, by any stretch of the imagination, anymore that we had, 30 years ago or so.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Anyway, welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we are talking about things that affect your lives here in Marion Polk County and wherever our voices might reach, especially here in Oregon. Things that you may not hear otherwise in some of our national news and our newspapers. So welcome to Newsmakers. We've got a great show today. I've got a friend of mine, Nick, is here. Nick Smith is here. He's from Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities. We're going to talk about logging.
Oh.
We're going to talk about smoke. We're going to talk about legislation, regulation. We're going to talk about utilization, all sorts of good stuff. Nick, welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's hope to a successful and happy new year. I met Nick several years ago. He was starting with Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities. He's got a history in the legislature, working with some legislators there. I know he's been on KYKN 1430 long ago in his past. And gosh, let's start off this with so many things to talk about with Trump's public policy, legislation, Wyden, forest fires, thinning, management, wildlife, pollution, the Rogue River Valley, Detroit, jobs, so many things to talk about. But let's introduce you a little bit. You're a family man.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I will just describe you as early to mid-career. Does that work?
That's correct.
And you're the executive director of Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities. It's a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit grassroots organization. I started it in 2013 because at the time there really wasn't sort of a grassroots effort. Certainly like there was back in the early 90s when you had, the Yellow Ribbon campaigns and the Spotted Owl crisis and, all of the bad things that mm-hmm. followed that. But, in, today's digital age, we have, lots of forests that are burning and lots of rural communities that need jobs and economic development. And, what my organization does is it advocates for active forest management on federally owned forest lands.
Oh, okay. Say that again slowly. You advocate?
We advocate for active forest management on federally owned forest lands.
Do you also talk public policy and advocate on state lands or
absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, just earlier this year, I was in the legislature lobbying for a bill that enables the state of Oregon to do more management activities, whether it's logging and thinning on federal lands.
Okay, more power to you. If you've listened to the show in the past, I am very much pro utilization of our completely sustainable, 100% renewable resource that is forested lands. What a blessing it is in Oregon to have them. And I don't want to rape the earth. I don't want to tear down all the old growth. But we should be utilizing a resource that can be sustainably regrown, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But look at the last 2 years, or even just this year. 760,000 acres, roughly the size of Delaware, burned in forest fires this year in Oregon alone. And
wow.
And, the reason why we spend a lot of our time focusing on federal lands is because that is where the issue is. If you look at, the past several years, the past several fire seasons, 80% of the acres burned occurred on federal land. And that is because, we have thousands upon thousands of acres of a naturally overstocked forest stands that haven't been thinned, haven't been harvested. And what you see is the catastrophic wildfires that we're seeing today. And to help illustrate that point, it's estimated that on Oregon's national forests alone, there are over 570 million standing dead trees. And, if you look at the growth on our national forest lands, over half of that growth today is lost to mortality, meaning the forests are dying from wildfires, mm-hmm. from insect infestations, from disease.
From fires, and they're all dying.
Yeah. By contrast, just 9% of that growth is harvested as timber.
I'm going to rewind here a second because my mind is still spinning. How about you, Dave? Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
We burned down a forest the size of Delaware.
Right.
Just in Oregon.
Just this year.
Just this year.
Wow.
That's right.
Holy cow. And, I hear, sometimes you hear the argument, hey, nature should take over and you should let them all decompose and blah, 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 and how nature does it. But if we want to look back previous to humans living here, how nature did it was to burn down a half a continent at a time, right?
Well, I mean, we've had, 25, 30 years since the spotted owl crisis to see what happens when we, allow nature to take its course. And, I think we're seeing that through, over 700,000 acres of forest burning every year. And, I think the choice is simple. We could either manage the forest, reduce the risks, harvest some timber to create jobs in our rural communities, or we could just allow these forests to continue burning up. That is the choice.
All right. So you said you're an advocate for management.
That's correct.
Describe for me, what does management of the forest lands mean? What does that entail?
Active forest.
We're going to put you in charge. You're the man.
Absolutely.
You're the forest king.
Active forest management basically represents a number of tools that are in a forester's toolbox, or in this case, a federal land manager's toolbox. It could be logging, it could be thinning, it could be controlled burning. It depends on what your objectives are for a particular forest. If it's for timber production, maybe you'll do a regeneration harvest. If it's forest restoration, maybe it's light touch thinning. Whatever the case may be, we're just not doing enough of it on these federal lands really to do much for anybody unless you really like catastrophic wildfire and, lots and lots of toxic smoke.
Yeah, I wonder how the spotted owl feels about that.
Yeah, right. How about in California? Do you think that their management there would have prevented the horrific loss that they had at Paradise City?
I believe so, because in California, and you're starting to see the same problems here in Oregon, where you have all these dead trees,
right?
Millions of standing dead trees that basically have grown because going back, to ancient logging practices that are history, but also, over 100 years of wildfire suppression, where, there's no timber harvest, but immediate wildfire suppression. And if you're not managing the forest, you have these really dense and overgrown stands that result. And, depending on the forest and the tree type, this could cause major problems because there's not the sunlight in a lot of these forests, to grow the, really big, tall and thick trees that we're used to. We're seeing these sort of spindly, smaller mm-hmm. trees that, go out to any national forest and, you'll see it pretty quickly. And, those types of conditions on the landscape really contributes to tree mortality, catastrophic wildfire, and the things that we have today.
Well, things that don't make sense make my brain cells explode. So, and especially when you have advocacy groups that may be on the opposite spectrum that you are for utilization. Because I'm as environmentalist as the next guy, and I love our forests, and people recreate. Our KYKN listener right now is thinking about hunting and fishing and hiking and canoeing and all these recreational things that mm-hmm. we do, the quality of life things. And we want to protect that quality of life. We want to protect what we have in this state. We don't want to destroy it, but we also want it to allow it to be destroyed by wildfire.
That's correct. The national forests specifically you know, operate under, you know, the law of multiple use management. It's, you know, recreation, it's timber use, it's access, it's wildlife, it's all kinds of things. And when the Forest Service, for example, is not able to accomplish that multiple use mandate, mm-hmm. You know, everybody suffers. If you're not, you know, sustainably harvesting timber, if you're not, you know, just thinning the forests, you know, not only are you, I would say, costing, you know, lots of jobs in our rural communities, but, you know, I think as we saw in many places in Oregon that over the past couple of years that have been impacted by wildfire and smoke, you've seen a lot of, you know, tourism businesses really suffering.
In the Rogue Valley, as we mentioned before.
I mean, there were a few days this summer where they had the worst air quality in the planet. Medford had worse air quality than Beijing, China.
That's pretty bad.
And, you know, if you look at last year, the state lost $51 million in lost tourism revenue from wildfires and smoke last year. And,
all right, we're going to cycle back about how after the break, we're about how some of the advocacy groups seem to just have it backwards. And that's what's making my brain cells explode, where it's the end result is exactly the opposite of what they want. But real quickly, your organization is now in three different areas because you founded this in Oregon, right?
That's correct.
You also have like a Rocky Mountain area.
We do.
And Idaho.
Yeah, we work in the Pacific Northwest. So wherever from Northern California to Montana, we also work in the Rocky Mountain states and the Great Lakes states.
All right. Well, this certainly affects Marion, Polk County and the whole Willamette Valley region. Healthy forests, healthy communities. We've got Nick Smith with us here on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
All right, welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and I am fired up again today, Dave. This is like one of the topics I'm really passionate about. We've got Nick Smith, the Executive Director of Healthy Forest, Healthy Communities, here with us, and we're talking about our forests, our rural Oregon communities. We certainly have a lot of those in Marion, Polk County and surrounding counties, and we're talking about how public policy doesn't make sense, and sometimes advocacy for the forest doesn't make sense and makes my brain cells explode. So, for instance, a lot of times, not just, I mean, because I'll confess, I'm as environmental as the next guy. We talked about how most of us still love trees and we love going out in the forest and this and that. But then there's the, oh no, humans' hands cannot touch the tree people.
Right? Yeah.
Human hands should never touch the tree. We can't cut anything down. We cannot harvest a burned down tree. Right? And for it to utilize.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
All right. So I'm going to grab this statistic that Nick brought for us today. 2007, this is 10 years ago, a good statistic. And Oregon forest fires produced enough greenhouse gases equal to 11.1 million cars driven all year. So that's, I would guess that's equivalent to all of the cars in Oregon and Washington that year.
Right.
Driving all year long. But we allowed it, that much carbon emission, to happen just from forest fires in Oregon.
Which is about two or three months, right? While it burned?
That's crazy. You know about carbon sequestration and protecting the planet and the environment. And then, I mean, how about if we have forested lands that is rotated and replanted yeah, sustainably?
Well, we used to be.
Because there is, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are certifications for sustainable forestry, right, where you can plant and harvest at a sustainable rate to be completely renewable. I had a friend that worked for Boise Cascade, and all of their lands, they just finished certification that all of the lands that they managed, hence what Nick's trying to get us to do with the U.S. forest lands, were sustainable, certified.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, if you look at just forest growth on these federal forests mm-hmm. in Oregon, just 9% of that growth every year is what is being harvested. So, I mean, you know, there's the principle of sustained yield, which, you know, you don't cut more than what grows naturally. And, you know, everybody in the timber industry, foresters, they all operate under that principle. But on the federal lands, you know, they're only harvesting, you know, a small fraction of what grows every year. And so, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we need to go out and harvest, you know, 2 billion board feet off of our federal lands this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and they certainly don't do it clear cutting anymore.
No, not so much on federal lands for sure. But, you know, if we were, you know, just to modestly increase timber harvest, which, you know, by the way, is just a byproduct of the type of, you know, forest restoration and fuels reduction work that people want, mm-hmm. you know, we can, you know, not only have the, you know, that, you know, safer communities, but we could also be creating jobs. We can be producing revenue for our, you know, county governments and our schools and roads.
All right, I got one question before we dive into public policy. Okay. This is a stupid question, but the forests burn down. Who replants them?
Well,
anybody
on private lands. You know, private land managers are very aggressive in salvaging burnt timber and reforesting. That's not happening on federal lands. So, in fact, you know, nationally, there, I believe there's, you know, well over, you know, I think 1.2 million acres of federal land that has been burned but hasn't been reforested. And so, you know, wow. Rather than the forest coming back, you're seeing, you know, the shrubs and other stuff, mm-hmm. and you're not seeing forests. And that's a pronounced problem in California, especially.
Scrub pines instead of towering pines.
That's correct.
All right. So you go to the state capitol, obviously.
Yes.
You talk to federal regulators and so forth. Who's on your side? Who are the good guys in this effort?
Well, you know, I think first I want to say is, you know, this shouldn't be a partisan issue. You know, both Republicans and Democrats, you know, both represent Oregonians. And, you know, certainly the focus should be on improving the health of our forests and you know, providing economic opportunity in our rural communities.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, you know, I think Congressman Greg Walden has been very outspoken on the need for active forest management. Congressman Kurt Schrader, the congressman here,
mm-hmm.
You know, one of the blue dog Democrats, has been, you know, very outspoken on natural resource policy and the need to be harvesting timber. Congressman DeFazio, you know, also representing a forested district, has also been supportive of these issues. And
Kurt Schrader, of course, is in our area.
That's correct.
And DeFazio is more on Southern Oregon or Southwestern Oregon and the coast, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, but, you know, I'll say that every year, at least every year up until now, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed comprehensive forest management reform, basically giving the agencies more tools and resources to accelerate forest management. And certainly Congressman Walden has been supportive of that, and the other congressmen that I mentioned have as well. But every year, those reforms die in the United States Senate. And you know, basically what I've said is that the Senate is where good forestry bills go to die.
Hmm.
And you know, even in the run-up to the Farm Bill, you know, over this fall, the House passed, you know, a very aggressive package of forest management reforms, basically to accelerate, you know, that thinning and logging and burning activity. The Senate wasn't going to have any of that. And so...
Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, you need 60 votes to get anything out of the Senate. And, you know, that has been a problem. But, you know, I have to say one of the challenges has been getting, you know, Senate Democrats from the West to, you know, get on board with these measures and understand not just the need, but, you know, the opportunity that we have to do sustainable, proactive forest management.
How are the Oregon senators on this?
Well,
or U.S. senators from Oregon.
Well, you know, what I'll say is that it would be nice to get some good forestry legislation out of the U.S.
You see him trying to duck that? He's like physically ducking that question right
and,
there.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I think one thing that I'm worried about right now is this Oregon Wildlands Act, which Senator Wyden is looking to push through Congress. Tried to do it in this lame duck session,
mm-hmm.
and wasn't successful, but he says he'll get a vote in January. And, you know, my position has been as, you know, if you're concerned about wildfire, smoke, and all of those aspects, you know, we can't manage federal lands that have been set aside for other purposes. And it's not like we need to go, you know, log wilderness areas, but, you know, certainly in areas and certainly areas targeted by the Oregon Wildlands Act, you know, especially in Southwest Oregon, you know, his bill would set aside, you know, thousands of acres of land from active forest management. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, you were talking about before the show something I hadn't considered, how difficult it is to fight a forest fire and actually even to manage lands you're trying to preserve if you can't access them. So roads that you cannot get to get to the fires to keep them from being catastrophic, right? So I think what I'm reading into what you're saying, the problematic thing about Senator Wyden's plan is you can't get to these things and you cannot manage what you cannot get to is actually a Nick Smith quote. You can't manage what you cannot get to. Is that right?
Well, in my opinion, if you know you, if you care about you know these treasures and our natural resources, you know, the worst thing that we could do to these landscapes is lock them up and walk away. You know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, especially a lot of people who've lived in Oregon for, you know, all their lives or, you know, for years and years, you know, what has changed over the past, you know, 20, 30 years? You know, why are we seeing these big catastrophic wildfires that I didn't experience when I was a kid? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things is the lack of active management, but also, as you mentioned, the lack of access into our forests. We're not getting more access into our federal lands. We're getting less. And over the past 20, 30 years, you know, the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management has closed, you know, thousands of miles of roads. And those roads were once gave firefighters the ability to get into the forest and attack fires before they became these raging infernos.
Wow. So that's one of those things where you try so hard to protect something. It's like locking your child in the closet and hoping they develop into a healthy adult, right?
No.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You take something, you just say, well, let's lock it away.
It's
let's
so
not
pretty. Let's just lock it up so nobody can see it.
We can't utilize it. But when it burns down.
Be there.
Of these 700 million acres that would burn, how many of that is like would be considered old growth?
A lot of it.
That's what a tragedy.
These fires burned a lot of old growth.
All right, we're going to talk about President Trump in the next and his efforts in the next segment. We're talking to Nick Smith of Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities. He's the executive director. We'll be right back on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
Now back to Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the office, you can see him arrive. He stands 6'2" and weighs 195. Now, some don't like him. Some think he's hip. But all agree he gives a lot of lip. Big Don.
That's the Oval Office. Big Don.
That's right.
Big Don.
Big Bad Don. There you go.
And Donald Trump. We don't do a lot of Trump talking here on Newsmakers, but some things that Trump does certainly affects our quality of life and our pocketbooks here in Oregon and in the Mid-Valley. So Nick Smith, Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities, that is Healthy Rural Communities, that is, that he's an advocate for in creating active forest management on U.S. forest lands and state forest lands so that we can have profitable economic development and people support their families all throughout Oregon and not just Portland. So managing the forest, I promised we're going to talk about President Trump and what is he doing and where is he on the issue of the forest management?
Well, the president has been very outspoken about the wildfires out west and the need for active forest management. And, you know, what I'll say to the president's credit is that from day one, you know, he basically instructed, you know, his federal land agencies to, you know, do what they can to, you know, accelerate active forest management, whether it's for, you know, timber harvests or you know, fuels reduction or thinning. You know, just over the past fiscal year, which is, you know, really the first full fiscal year since the president took office. Timber harvest levels in areas of the country are seeing numbers that haven't been seen since the early 1990s.
Wow.
And, you know, here in Oregon, and, you know, you talked about the you know, the jobs and rural economic development component. 1 million board feet of timber supports 11 jobs in Oregon. So it's not just, you know, the logger and, you know, the mill worker. It's basically all of the people who benefit or thrive off of a healthy timber industry, whether it's, you know, the mechanic, but also, you know, timber harvest produce tax revenue. And, you know, these revenues, you know, support, you know, put sheriff's deputies on the roads, you know, put teachers in the classrooms. And so, you know, timber continues to be an economic driver, and the president recognizes that.
Amen. Yeah, I've always wondered why it is that they don't see the economic development aspect, which creates income tax revenue to accomplish the goals of the legislature or the governor when it comes to medical care and when it comes to education and all these things. Well, where are you going to get those monies? Yeah. Well, how about if more people are paying income tax, right?
But yeah, and also look at the Elliott State Forest down in southwest Oregon. You know, the state forests in particular were set up to support public education, you know, K-12 schools. And, you know, the state of Oregon has joined the federal government as I think the only entities in the world, I think, who actually lose money managing forests. You know, the Elliott State, I bring up the Elliott State Forest because it's a sore subject. It's a forest, very productive forest in, you know, outside of Coos Bay that, you know, once produced millions of dollars in money to put into the classroom. And timber harvesting on the Elliott Forest has effectively been shut down. Mm. And so the state of Oregon has been losing millions of dollars every year on this land. And has been losing so much money, they've tried to sell it, gotten pressure from that, and you know, it's just a mess. I think just generally, and you know, thank God the president understands that if, you know, we're managing forests for, you know, multiple uses and multiple benefits, we can have rural jobs, we can have at least cleaner air, and we can have more green forests than black ones.
All right, let me play devil's advocate here. So we're talking about Trump's executive order. He signed it December 21st, allowing for active management of forest and rangelands, et cetera. So I assume that's going to be viewed by a lot of people as he's deregulating and he's going to destroy the earth and there'll be pollution and erosion and so on and so forth. They're going to destroy the economy or the ecology and all that.
Well, my response to that is if you really like the last 25, 30 years of hands-off forest management, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres in Oregon burning every year and smoke that we're choking on, then, you know, hands-off forest management is for you.
It's been a catastrophe.
It's been a catastrophe. Yeah.
This is where we've been talking about in the last several weeks about soundbite information gathering. It sounds good to protect your forest and blah, blah, blah. It sounds good. And they do the soundbite, but they don't really look at the history and the outcome where you don't have you don't have the environment for the spotted owl anymore because you just burned down. You can't save an old growth forest if you let it burn down.
Yeah. Right? Well, yeah.
Okay.
You're
absolutely right. What else is going to, how do you see that playing out, the executive order? Now, he's done the order, but sometimes what says in Washington doesn't filter down and the regional people don't execute it.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. And first, I want to sort of frame the problem. And that is that, you know, due to this I'd say well-intentioned but counterproductive web of federal environmental laws and regulations, even if we want to manage these forests, it takes the agencies too long and it costs us too much money for these forests to be managed. And I want to illustrate this point before getting into the executive order.
Okay.
And that is, you know, the average environmental impact statement, which a federal agency, you know, typically has to do for a, you know, big actually any kind of project.
Like a bridge maybe,
Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. It took us 10 years.
Or no, it was 20 years, wasn't it?
Well, no, 10 to 12 years to get to the point where our environmental impact statement, ODOT had that done. And
finally.
So, but 4.5 years for forestry?
Yeah, I mean, it takes 4.5 years for the Forest Service on average to do an environmental impact statement, just to cut a tree. And, wow. You know, that length of time is only growing. It's increasing, you know, more than a month every year. So it's only taking them longer. Wow. You know, it's estimated by folks in Congress that the Forest Service personnel, and this is definitely not to beat up on the great men and women who work on the ground, but you know, we have a system and a process now where they're spending an estimated 40% of their time doing paperwork instead of managing forests. And, you know, this type of paperwork, you know, National Environmental Policy Act, Endangered Species Act, you know, it's not cheap to do this paperwork for whatever reason. And it's estimated that just the cost of paperwork under the National Environmental Policy Act alone is $365 million a year.
Well, we could do all that paperwork, which was from cut down trees, instead of, but we can't afford to pay for firefighters.
Well, right? Yeah, it's just bad follows bad. Over half of the U.S. Forest Service's budget now goes to wildfire suppression, and that is being driven by the lack of active management and the lack of access into our forest. It's just like it's a bad sort of feedback loop we've going on here.
It's a good thing you cannot hear my brain cells exploding because we have this resource from which we could be making money. And by we, I mean the rural communities, the state, the tax man, the federal tax man. It could be generating economic activity and money and livelihood and be sustainable, but instead it's costing us money.
Right.
We have to cost the money to fight the fires and to do the paperwork instead of thinning them out, reducing the fires, and generating income for the state of Oregon.
Yeah, not only the state of Oregon, but you know, things like timber harvests on public lands also support access and recreational amenities and all the good stuff that, you know, we've come to expect on these lands, but really are no longer getting.
Okay, but back to the question.
Yes.
Wow, it's going to take forever to try to get Trump's executive order into practice, years, right? And by then we would have a different president and could everything get derailed. Are we really going to see some positive outcome from the executive order?
I think so. I mean, I think we're, you know, frankly, out of this administration, I think we're already beginning to see positive things. But, you know, this executive order, what it does is it gets back to the piece that I mentioned, that it takes agencies too long and it costs too much for them to do any work. Well, this, you know, really aims to streamline those regulations. So it expedites work, you know, especially where it makes sense on forest lands that, you know, are unreserved. They're not set aside. They're not mm-hmm. wilderness. You know, they're originally created for timber production, you know, but they're at risk of catastrophic wildfire. So it, you know, really tries to accelerate management in those areas where it really makes sense.
Wow. Okay. So I'm looking here, some figures about, we're still, the allowance for loggers is about a quarter of what was harvested in 1973. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, under the executive order, the president sets, you know, I'd say these very aggressive timber targets. But at the same time, you know, I don't know if they're that aggressive when, you know, really if you know, Trump is successful in doing this, it's still only about a third of what was harvested, you know, back then.
Are we getting any help from my governor on this? Where is our governor? Where is our governor and the leadership on this? I'm
hearing crickets.
Yeah, I'm hearing crickets over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, crickets.
All right. The reason I ask is let's look back at a previous governor that had goals for early childhood education and college education, education in general, and for, of course, healthcare. Goals. But then he wouldn't turn around and show any leadership when it comes to creating more agricultural productivity in eastern Oregon with water out of the Columbia, nor out of the trees and the forest lands, the state forest land, even at a sustainable level, or any of these things that would create the economic activity that creates the taxes that pays for all the goals. It's like, so are we still in that same kind of log jam with the current governor in terms of not having the leadership to say, hey, we can accomplish our budgetary needs and desires and turn this horrible education situation around. But we're not She's not helping here?
Well, you know, I think what I'll say
is... she going to sue Trump over this? Because she's fond of suing Trump.
Well, she could. She could. But, you know, the state of Oregon does have this agreement in place with the Forest Service. It's called Good Neighbor Authority. And it's a federal law that, you know, several states, quite a few states have participated in. And it gives state agencies, in this case, the Oregon Department of Forestry, the ability to partner with the Forest Service to do treatments, you know, whether they're timber sales or restoration projects on federal lands.
All right. I don't think we're going to be able to finish that before our break. So we're going to break right now. We'll come right back. We're with Nick Smith, Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities. You're listening to KYKN Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Ford on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Is a burning thing.
And we love our forests.
A fiery ring.
Yes.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we're talking about forests. We're talking about healthy forests, healthy communities. Nick Smith has got a nonprofit here in Oregon. I started 5 years ago to try to advocate for management of our forested lands, specifically U.S. lands that are forested, instead of letting them burn to the ground. And it really pains me because it seems like the same people that don't want us to manage the forest, the people who are global warming alarmists, right, and want to sequester carbon. And here we've got it sequestering it. We're burning it to the sky. Wow. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to happen, folks. We're releasing so much sequestered carbon, right? Isn't this a healthy thing?
Yeah.
It's turning carbon dioxide into oxygen, and it's sequestering carbon in the trees themselves. And if we cut them down and we use them instead of burning them, then they go into the houses and they're still sequestered. So how is this not contrary to their own public policy views or even their own environmental views?
You know, it's hard to speak for them, but, you know, our forests give us so much. You know, they give us clean water. They give us clean air. They give us places to live. But, you know, they need care. You know, people have been managing forests for thousands and thousands of years. And, you know, if you're going to cut off logging, but, you know, we're still going to manage fire the way we do, which I think people expect fires to be suppressed. You're going to have these conditions every summer. You're going to have more fire. You're going to have more smoke. When, you know, really there's a better way to go about this.
So talking to you today, and these are days that I wish we had 2 hours to talk.
Right.
The listener needs to hear that there's a sustainable way to forest. There's a sustainable way to harvest the forest.
Well, they did it for hundreds of years.
And then replant, harvest and replant. Now we're letting them burn, and there's a million plus acres of U.S. forest lands that burn to the ground, all that carbon released to the atmosphere, and they're not replanting.
Right.
They're not replanting like they would if they had been managing it. Or actually, it wouldn't have burned up as severely if they had been managing it. So there's that. We need more leadership out of Salem. Okay. So from both parties, this should not be a partisan thing. This should be a pragmatic, what's best for the citizens, what's best for the forest,
states.
What's best for the trees and the forests, and manage them for their own protection, right? And the other thing that was really striking me, I'm going to walk away with, is how difficult it is to manage and how expensive it is to fight a fire if you cannot get to it.
That's correct.
If you do not have a forest road.
Yeah, you're forced to use helicopters and airplanes.
Helicopters and airplanes, or you wait till the fire gets to you.
Yeah, that's
it. Devastating. And it's not an element I had thought in terms of how much more difficult, how much slower, and how much more expensive it is to fight these fires when they take those logging roads and they put them off limits, right? All right, I'm trying to take up your time here. I'm Nick. I'm sorry, but I'm hoping he's nodding over here, so I'm hoping I am getting his message.
Well, Nick is hearing your brain cells
explode. We know what the problem is, and the solution, according to Nick Smith, is active forest management. That means thinning, right? That means utilizing for roads. That means sustainable harvesting, right?
That's correct.
All of these things. Yep. So you can manage it for whose benefit, darn it? Just the people that rape the earth? For whose benefit, Nick?
Forest management benefits everybody.
Amen.
If you like clean air, clean water.
What?
If you don't like fire and you don't like smoke, then you know you. I think active forest management's the answer.
Who's out there that just hates what you do for a living?
You know, there's some hardcore environmental groups that Oregon Wild would be one who've come after us and have labeled us as rapists of the earth and whatnot as I said, we've seen 20, 30 years of hands-off forest management, and I think it's hard for them to defend.
Yeah, and it's hard for you to defend when we live in a culture of a soundbite, and they want to paint you with a broad brush that you just want to cut down all the trees and leave it barren.
That's right.
Right, which is couldn't be further from me. I have not heard that from you today, anything of the sort.
Well, I'll give you a soundbite.
Okay.
Trees come out of the forest one way or another. They're either carried out or they're burned out. I think if they're carried out, we could have a healthier forest. We could have less wildfire. We could have more jobs and, more tax revenue for all the good things that we expect out of society.
And you save the animals.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the greatest threats to the spotted owl is not loggers.
It's a fire.
Stand replacing wildfires.
Yeah.
Wow.
According to the Oregon State
1.1 million acres of national forest are in need of reforestation. And we can't afford to do that because they're busy spending, all
doing
the time
paperwork.
Doing paperwork and
red tape,
and not being able to pay for the firefighters. That's horrible. All right, what else should we know? Actually, before we run out of time, how can people help you if they're we've got issues in Detroit, right? We're talking about so two questions to answer. How does this affect us? Nearby, up in the canyon, up towards Detroit, and two, how can people help you and your initiatives?
Well, just over the past couple of years, we've seen fires burn on the Willamette National Forest. And, there's research, really linking the dense forest conditions we see on the Willamette National Forest to snowpack, to water into Detroit Lake, and the water that comes down here into the valley. And so, there's strong science supporting the work that needs to be done. To learn more, people go to healthyforest.org. We also have a popular Facebook page with 180,000 followers.
Wow.
Like us on Facebook.
Wow.
I should have tagged you. I posted you on here. So.
And Instagram.
Yeah.
All right. Healthyforest.org. Healthyforest.org. That's great. Nick Smith, Healthy Forest, Healthy Communities. Thank you for being here today. I mean, there's so many things to cover, and it affects so many aspects of people's lives in Oregon, in the Mid-Valley. What we do to recreate, how much money's in the pocket, how much money is floating through our community. And you may live in Salem and think you're not affected by the forest land public policy, but you absolutely are. Also around us, we've got farm policy that affects the Mid-Valley. We have forest policy that affects the Mid-Valley in Polk, in Marion, in Yamhill, certainly in Tillamook.
Right.
All over the place where we could be utilizing more from our natural resources. Time to sign off for today. It's a fabulous day. Thank you, Nick, for being here. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
See you tomorrow.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires. On 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.